Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Chatterbox Presents, sponsored in part by the Million Dollar Mouthpiece. I am your host today. I am Miss Peaches. It's good to have you guys back. Testing out some new equipment today. I'm playing around with technology, trying to see how well things work with us for this headpiece and audio quality and things of that nature. I think today I want to do things a little differently. I want to go with the golden ticket first. And the reason why I'm coming with the golden ticket first is because I want a certain type of energy for this particular show for today. July 17th, 2020. We're smack in the middle of summer. We're past the 4th of July holidays, the Juneteenth holidays, and people are feeling a certain kind of way, and their energy is going a certain kind of way. So I kind of just want to throw this piece of scripture out here that I find absolutely wonderful. It comes out of the Psalm of David, 41st chapter, verses 7 through 13. This piece of scripture I have had for some years, and I ran across it earlier in the week in my studies and thought it would be a great piece to share because of the nature of things that's going on in our country, the level of disparity and hatred, grief, anguish, anxiety. Figured this would be a good way to kind of give one something to meditate on. So the scripture reads, verse 7, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. I'm just grateful for all the positive feedback that we're getting. So let's go on to what I want to call our lip movement. Lip movement is going to be like the hot topics of things going on out there. So lip movement. Let's say you're out and about. You're running errands, and you know you say, hey, you know what? I'm getting a little hungry. I'm gonna stop at the fast food place, and you stop at Taco Bell, right? You know, just stop. And of course, with the life being different, you know, socially distancing, you know, your drive-through experience is not what it used to be. So no one warned me about how the drive-through experience is going to go post-corona or post-quarantine, post-pandemic, or whatever you want to call this, because corona is still very present amongst us and still killing people as we speak. Anyway, so I decide, you know, running there, I'm gonna stop at Taco Bell because I don't usually eat fast food. I'm a home cooker. I like my home cooked meals, and that's just me. But I'm gonna move today, so I'm testing things out. So this experience is completely touchless, and I like the cleverness of it. So they have this plastic tube that sits in the window of the drive-thru that they slide your food, and stick your food in it, and slide it out to you, and they never touch anything, physical touches them, because they have on rubber gloves on the inside, and all the person touches their stuff is you. And so they put your money in a sleeve, like a little taco sleeve or something like that, and stick your money in there. They have change in there. You put that in there. You put your condiments in there. I mean, it's just, it's like, wow. Like, they've made this a real thing. And now you think, I think I read somewhere that Walmart is going completely self-checkout. Like completely self-checkout. Like Walmart used to have like 30 lanes of cashiers. They shrunk them all down to self-checkout. So I said all that to say this. My customer service experience has not been what I'd like for it to have been in recent history. So I get why machines would replace us, but at the same time, you do look for human interaction when you're in amongst, you know, taking care of your day-to-day business, there's a certain degree of human interaction that you actually expect. You know, I'm not sure how I feel about the completely self-checkout, no cashiers now, and then you got everything, you know, through a glass, through a plastic. And they want to say that if we go into a mask for 4 to 8 weeks, that it will slow the spread of corona. I think it's too late. I think if they had took this precaution in May, if they had stayed out to July and then brought everybody back with the mask being mandatory just now, and we were just now going back to work after the 4th of July, I think that this thing would have hit its curve and it would have been dormant. And then you only had maybe a few thousand that would resurge and not like literally hundreds of thousands of people would resurging. Like you have more people in the second wave than in the first. It was in the first wave. So it's like, do your homework, everybody. Do your due diligence. I want to say the governor, Beshear in Kentucky, Commonwealth here, has petitioned the court to be able to have executive orders initiated during the global pandemic crisis, and it was approved. People, I'm not sure if this is what you think it is, but I said last week, you really want to watch that Handmaid's Tale. It came out 2 years ago. They had a follow-up season last year. So it's like 3 seasons out. It's a good weekend watch. You want to watch the series. It's definitely dead on to what they want to call purification of race, of moral content and the state. They want to create a certain atmosphere for human beings to resonate in. So if you don't fall in line, they do have a place for you. And you're not going to like it. I want to also address the fact that we're already seeing disenfranchisement with the voting situation. Florida yesterday passed an initiative that if you owe court fines and fees, you could not vote. They are finding ways to cripple people in blanket numbers. So you think all that the coronavirus don't wipe out and take out, you know, so now they're finding ways of disenfranchising voters again. You know, so if they're not financially ruined from the virus, then, you know, there are fine ways to disenfranchise you, you know. So you thought that free money was free money, but you didn't pay off the tickets. So now you can't vote. I don't know. I really play for the condition of humanity. That the decision process would improve drastically, especially how they're treating us in this country right now. They have no regard for human life. It's almost as if it's about numbers. It's not about the soul. It's not about people. There's no empathy. Nowhere, even amongst the people. You know, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to mingle and interact with a few people or go to a mall or a gas station. The people are harboring a resignation that is not so pleasant. Like everybody's like deeply frustrated. So you really have to pray for people when there's a spirit like that. And then, you know, in conversation with some of our colleagues and coworkers and, you know, people in general, and it's about civil war. It's inevitable. They're trying to divide the country. Well, you know, this place has never been together. So, yeah, that's my thought. You know, you have to have been together at some point in time for it to divide it. So it's a place that if we were never together to begin with, you know, there's just more divide. So we have to find a way to literally bridge the gap to even divide it. You know, you have to start trying to even just have conversation across the table. You know, at this point, you know, so far distant, so removed from everything. People are literally desensitized, especially since death is so prominent the way it is now. It's almost unnatural to even process. Anyway, moving right along. Check out that situation about Florida. Do your homework. I bet more than likely it's a bunch of black people who can't afford to pay their court costs and fines. I'm almost certain. Anyway, more lip movement. There was a sit-in at the home of the Attorney General here in Louisville for Breonna Taylor, and that lady was not happy. She expressed publicly that she was very dissatisfied with the fact that the people were in front of her house, you know. And my thing is, I'm not saying that it's not effective, but she literally quote unquote called it surreal. Yeah, they called it surreal. Yeah. So I don't know how effective that sit was, but I will post it on my page and show that article, you know, talking about, you know, when people were sitting in the front of the home and, you know, happen to be able to witness that and no peace in your neighborhood. I don't know. If they wanted real change, they did it for a week, but I don't think it would have went that long. They'd have called the police. And from what some of the locals say, the police like to beat up people here. So I'm not sure they were ready to fight, but it did go peacefully from what reports say. So kudos to you guys for demonstrating that you can definitely demonstrate acts of peace. Anyway, transitioning to what I'm going to call our chatter session. This is going to be my meat and potatoes of the show. It's about 15 minutes into everything. And I want to address mental health with isolation and distance and quarantine, with social unrest, breeds a recipe for mental issues, concerns, wellness. Personally, I have experienced all range of emotions in the last 4 months in the age of coronavirus. I have been angry. I have been sad. I have been happy. I have been joyful. I have had sorrow and definitely grief. I have had all kinds of range of emotions during this. So what I want to address is not necessarily mental illness itself. I want to address the framework of mental health, because I think a lot of people get hung up when you say mental health. They're like, oh, I'm crazy. I didn't think you're crazy. No. You have to understand how a certain thing works in order for it to really be able to even help or build or take away. You have to know what it is. So I did some homework because I was watching the news and they were talking about broken heart syndrome, and it caught my attention. And they were talking about a man in Louisville whose brother had passed, and that he was so grief-stricken that he was so heartbroken that literally he went to sit down at his kitchen table, he put his head down, and his heart stopped. And his wife literally was watching him change colors from across the room. And thankfully, he was able to get help, and they were able to bring him back, you know. But you could, even in the editorial, you could still see that man is still struggling with whatever that grief is. Get it. Only time does heal some wounds. But definitely, that's a mental health concern that's being manifested through the body. So I decided to say, let's go do some homework. Let's go find out what depression and its relatives look like. So in my study, I came up with depression, suppression, and repression are three forms of mental discomfort that you can experience. All of these are different and range in different calibers. Believe it or not, only one is self-inflicted. And if you guessed it was depression, you're wrong. Depression is not self-inflicted. This is what we as people got to understand. Depression is something that's environmentally breeded and inflicted on you, because depression literally means to keep lowered. So if something is inhibiting you from rising up, you would inhibit yourself from rising up. And if you are inhibiting yourself from rising up, it is not called depression. It is called suppression. Oops. Did I just teach somebody something today? So, depression is environmentally inflicted. Suppression is self-inflicted. Keeping oneself. Right. Keeping oneself is suppression. Repression is keeping someone else from something. Education is powerful, gang. If we don't study and find out things on our own, we will let people diagnose us and misdiagnose us and tell us what's wrong with us. Yeah, okay. Nothing's wrong with us. Environmentally, they're heaving things on us. So it would make sense for most people to be suffering from some form of depression because of the environment in which we live and uneasy and unsettled. So it should be natural that maybe 5 out of 10 people you meet is going through something. Right now, of course. So anyway, now that you got a broader understanding of these three siblings here, these three people, depression, suppression, repression, let me tell you how you try to maneuver around these. There are some tips that I'm going to give out. Incorporate them into your self-help kit. You know, I had to really back up off of the self-help gurus, because there's nothing wrong with me. And the only reason why the self-help guru makes money is there has to be something wrong with me. He won't be having my dollar. I'm sorry. Anyway, tips to help you. I got 2 hours left. Check in. I started doing this within my own family. And this is where we just, hey, how was your day? Hey, check in with me. What's going on with you? You know, stop. You know, connect with me. How are you? You know, and this is where you get eye to eye with somebody. And y'all get on each other's level and you connect and you check in and see if they need energy, they need prayer, they need love, they need caring, caress, anything. Is your partner, you or your child, or you and your cousin, whoever you have that close relationship with, you find that person, you check in. You have people you check in with. Second, use I statements. It's important to be able to identify and state what it is. So them I statements are really important to feeling grounded and feeling centered. Third, focus on the positive. There's got to be some sunshine at the end of every storm. At some point, the sun will come out. Have to find a way to try to keep something positive, something to keep you moving, elevated, lifted, be it your pet, be it a plant, be it fish. For me, it's my fish. I love my fish tank. It's a source of inspiration for me when I'm gloom and doom. It helps. Try it out if you're a water sign. Try it out. You have to suspend judgment. This is where a lot of us get really caught up on our judgments that we have or inhibit, because they're inflicted not only on us, but we inflict them on other people too. Part of trying to grow past depression, suppression, and, you know, repression, you have to be able to suspend your judgments of what you think life's supposed to look like, what you think people supposed to look like, what things are supposed to look like. You have to let those things go. Lastly, make it a habit of having these things incorporated. Start when the things are easy, because when it gets tough, you'll already have the habit. So it takes Literally 21 days to start a habit. 21 days. Consistently. If you struggle, 30. So I just want to make sure our people are getting something of substance when you come here to Blog Talk Radio. I know a lot of people want me to do, you know, internet, YouTube, Facebook. I feel if I have something that's of substance and of quality, I don't want to give it to you for free. That's just, hey, it is what it is. If you're good at it, you should never do it for free. Never. With that being said, I'm going to get ready to close out our show for tonight. I will definitely be seeing you guys next week. I am excited. I got a couple of other new things I'm working on. I got dropped a bomb about something called a Lincoln Project. I'll be bringing that to you next week in depth. I'm still working on that. Tune in. Make sure you find out about that, because that's going to be – I think it's going to take some place. And then I'm also talking about the state of labor and what's going on with our people and in this job situation and job loss. And of course, Walmart's not union, so. I am the Billion Dollar Mouthpiece. It has been my pleasure being with you guys tonight. I look forward to you every week. Thank you for hanging in there with me and sticking with me. I look forward to seeing you guys next week, 8 o'clock again as usual. Smooches.